She started off playing the scripture songs. I was just leading singing and glanced over there, saw it was her, so just continued singing. And then about two songs later, I saw her sitting here in the auditorium, and nothing really. I hadn't noticed any difference in the piano playing. And I look over there, and Ruth was now playing the piano. So they switched out in between songs. I guess maybe they did it while the song was going on. But thankful for her, and of course, great playing there. And I'm sure Ruth's gonna miss her as well. So we need some of you other ladies to step up and start playing for us, especially with the scripture songs. All right, so with that, let's go ahead and turn over to Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26. I better start getting into the message before I get myself in too much trouble. Jeremiah chapter 26. Start reading in verse number 1. It says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words which I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be, they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them, because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes, and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain, that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, and upon this city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the message. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for giving us another day. And Lord, I pray that you be with this message as it goes out. I pray that you fill me with your spirit. Help me to say only what you would have me to say. And Lord, I pray that your spirit work in the hearts and lives of every person in here. Lord, I pray that we leave here closer to you, Lord, more of a desire to please you than how we came in. I pray that you just, again, bless the service and give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so in this passage of Scripture, Jeremiah now is being put on trial for preaching the Word of God, for his obedience to God. If there's a wrong verdict given, he will be put to death. His life is hanging in the balance here for the preaching of God's Word. Now, we think it's a little bit of extreme here in the United States to have somebody put on trial for preaching. It's never really been done in the history of the United States. We would think maybe in China or North Korea or maybe a Muslim country, someone would be put on trial for preaching the Word of God. And, of course, that probably would be the case. But every time a man gets up and preaches God's word, every time a pastor gets up and preaches, we put them on trial in our hearts. We were going to say, are we going to accept what he is saying, or are we going to reject it? There's a trial going in our hearts and in our lives every time the word of God is preached to us. And the preacher will be held accountable to God for what he says, and God makes that very clear, that the pastor has a lot of responsibility on him, and God will hold him accountable. God will also judge us for what we do with the message that we hear, what verdict that we give to the man of God when he brings the message. So I want you to kind of think about that as we go through this passage of Scripture and examine it a little bit closer in detail. How we put every message that we hear, when pastor gets up and preaches, we kind of put it almost on trial. We don't like to think about it in those terms, but we're going to put them in the balances and see whether we're going to accept it or whether we're going to reject the message that he is bringing. Jeremiah, of course, in this passage, he's bringing a message of repent. You better repent or judgment is coming. We don't hear that too much in the preaching today, but we still have that message from God, possibly rebuking us or giving exhortation to us to do what is right. And it's up to us whether we will accept it or reject it. And we will be held accountable for that. So the first thing I want to look at is the responsibility of the man of God. We see here Jeremiah is put on trial. But I want to look a little bit here at the responsibility of the preacher when he's bringing a message, when he's bringing a rebuke. God has a responsibility to God that he must fulfill. Let's look there at verse number 2 of Jeremiah 26. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. The preacher has a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. God here gave Jeremiah some words to say, and he says, diminish not a word. Don't leave off a word of what I'm going to tell you so that you can tell the children of Israel everything that I have told you. He says, don't diminish a word. Don't try to make it a little bit more pleasing to the ear. Water it down a little bit so that it'll be more acceptable. He says, diminish not a word. Every word that a preacher speaks, he will be held accountable to God for. He has responsibility to God. And that the purpose of this responsibility is twofold, the reason that he's going to be held accountable. Number one, it's for the preacher's sake that he preached the whole counsel of God. It is for the preacher's sake. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 20. It is for his benefit that he preached the whole counsel of God. And that is being done less and less in today's world. People try to make the message more pleasing or more acceptable in today's culture. But it's for the man of God's profit that he speak the whole counsel of God. Acts chapter 20, verse number 26 and 27, we'll read. This is Paul speaking as he's getting ready to head back to Jerusalem. He's speaking to some of the elders of the churches that he started. And he says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Why did Paul knew he was guiltless before God when it comes to his preaching. Why did he know that? It says there in verse 26 that he says, I'm pure from the blood of all men. He knew that because he had not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. He says, I'm guiltless before God because I have preached everything that he told me to preach. And if a preacher gets up and delivers a message and he does not preach everything that God told him to preach, he is guilty before God. God will hold him accountable for that. And so we see that it is good for the preacher to preach the entire counsel of God, or else he will be under condemnation. Well, maybe not under condemnation from God, but God will judge him for not preaching the whole counsel of God. Again, we know that you see there in the account of the watchman in Ezekiel chapter 33, where God says he has placed Ezekiel as a watchman, and he's supposed to warn the nation of Israel of judgment coming. And he says, if you do not warn them, they're going to die, they're going to be in their iniquity, their own sin is going to be what condemns them. But he says, their blood will I require at your hand. And for you, maybe young preachers or people who preach maybe in the jail or at the VA, you are being held accountable for every word that you speak. God said, God told Jeremiah, diminish not a word. You're to preach the whole counsel of God, else you will be found guilty before God. Paul knew he was guiltless because he had preached the whole counsel of God. And we see that the second purpose for this is it's for the recipient's sake. It's for the recipient's profit that the man of God preach everything. It is for our profit. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse number 9. This is talking about a bishop. If you see there, it's listing the qualifications of a bishop, of a pastor. But verse number 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The bishop here, the pastor, is supposed to hold the faithful word, and then he's going to be able to be able by sound doctrine. By preaching the whole counsel of God, he's going to be able to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. If a pastor does hold back from preaching the whole counsel of God, that's not helping his audience out. That's not helping his congregation out. He's not exhorting them as he is supposed to. And when he fails to do that, when he doesn't preach the sound doctrine, when he does not preach the whole counsel of God, the gainsayers will start multiplying more and more. And then it gets harder and harder to preach the whole counsel of God when you have all these different factions in the church. It is for our profit that the man of God preached the whole counsel of God, even if it's a message that we don't like. Think about what Jeremiah was preaching. He said, you guys better turn from your wicked ways. Nobody likes to be told that they're wicked and that their ways are evil before God. But Jeremiah was told to deliver this message to them. And if he did not deliver it strongly enough, they wouldn't have known, they may not have known how perilous their situation was. That they were getting ready to be judged by God. And, of course, at this time, children of Judah were getting ready to be judged in a few years, less than 20 years. They were going to be taken over by the Babylonians. And if Jeremiah had failed to preach the whole counsel of God, if he had diminished a word here or there, they may not have received the message of, we need to repent now and turn back to God. They would not have been able to understand it as much if Jeremiah had done that, had he diminished the words. Again, if a preacher fails to do that, the church will not be properly exhorted, and the gainsayers will start multiplying over and over. So the preacher has a responsibility to God. He will be held accountable to God for what he preaches, and if he diminishes any words that he's supposed to preach. So let's turn back to Jeremiah 26. Point number one was the responsibility of the preacher. We'll look at point number two here, the response to the preaching. The response to the preaching. And this will cover, we see, starting in verse number 8 all the way down through 16. We're not going to read them right now. But the Bible records basically two responses to Jeremiah's preaching. And there's only going to be two responses in our lives as well. There's going to be a right response and a wrong response. There's only two ways that you can handle God's word. It's either to reject it or accept it. That's the only two ways. You're not going to put it off, just like salvation. Pastor O told the story of a man who said, well, I'm not accepting Christ, but I'm not rejecting him either. You don't have those options. There's no third option. You're either going to accept the word of God or you will reject it. You'll either accept the preaching of God's man or you will reject it. So we'll examine both responses as it is in our text so that we can better identify our responses to the preaching. So we can see that, okay, how I'm acting, that's indicative of a wrong response. And that means I'll need to change my way. So we're gonna look at both responses here. And first off, we'll look at the wrong response. Verses 8 through 11. We'll read verses 8 through 11. It says, "Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house into the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears." You know, it's amazing sometimes the lengths that we will go to stop a rebuke, to discredit a rebuke. Here, the prophets, the false prophets, and the priests were being convicted by the word of God, by the mouth of Jeremiah, and they're like, we need to put an end to this right now. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to say that he needs to die right now. And we will go to great lengths to try to stop a rebuke from coming at us, or to discredit that rebuke. So let's look at a wrong response. What are some of the characteristics of a wrong response? We'll see, number one, that it attacks the messenger. It attacks the person who is bringing the rebuke or bringing the preaching. You know, when we receive a rebuke in our life, quite often we immediately start discrediting whoever it was that gave us the rebuke. We start discrediting the source of the rebuke. I worked at the last QSA, and there was one time that I got brought into my supervisor's office. Another coworker of mine said I've been basically kind of dilly-dallying too much, and it was probably true. It was kind of funny that he would be the one to point it out because he did it probably more than I did. But immediately, my initial reaction was, "Man, what's he talking about? He does it more than I do. Why? What grounds does he have to accuse me of doing that?" But you know what? It was right. What he was saying was right. And so I immediately had to, you know, that initial response was immediately discredit the messenger, attack the messenger. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And that's true sometimes with preaching. When we're sitting there in the congregational area and the preacher gets up and he's preaching and it's something that we don't like, we immediately just start discrediting. Well, he doesn't know my situation. You know, he's 20 years younger than me. What does he know about life? We immediately start attacking the messenger. And this was true in Jeremiah's day. Immediately, what they started to do was, this man is not a prophet of God. They say there in verse number 9, "Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying?" And it says the message that he gave. They said he's not truly a prophet of God if he's saying this. If he's saying that Jerusalem will be desolate. He says that can't be a true prophet of God. And we have a lot of people today saying that a true prophet of God, a true man of God, wouldn't condemn anybody to hell. They'll just let everything slide as long as they can get them, as long as they present the gospel of Christ. That's what a lot of people are saying now. You know, it doesn't really matter. And nothing else matters except getting out the gospel of Christ in any means necessary. That's not true. That goes directly against the word of God. But that's how people view it nowadays. They start attacking the messenger. If it's something they don't like, they start attacking the messenger and say, that can't be right. That's not Christ-like to do that. Do we do that in our life? As we hear something that we don't like, we hear a rebuke, we hear a message that kind of steps on our toes a little bit, what's our response? Do we immediately start trying to discredit the preacher? Or if someone comes up to us in a private discussion, maybe trying to help us out, do we immediately start discrediting what he's saying? That's indicative of a wrong response. Your heart is wrong. You're responding to God's word in a wrong manner. Let's look at Proverbs 10, verse 17. Proverbs has a lot to say about how we handle instruction, how we handle reproof or rebuke, and it says a lot about our character. And the Proverbs lays it on the line very, very clearly between a fool or a wise man or a scorner. But Proverbs 10, verse 17, it says, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." If we start to refuse the reproof that God has given to us through His Word or through the man of God, the Bible says that we err. We err from the way of life that it talks about there earlier in the verse. Are we erring from the way of life, and are we going after the messenger when we hear this rebuke? Second thing we see back in Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah 26. We see that a wrong response will attack the message. Not only does it attack the messenger, it attacks the message. Then in verse number 9, they said, "You said that this house will be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant." It's like, how can you possibly be saying this? And how many preachers have heard some of the members of their church say, "That's never going to happen to me. That will never happen to my family." And on it goes. I'm sure pastors heard that numerous times. Somebody saying, "Well, we'll never go into slide that far. We're going to do it a little bit, but we're not going to go completely down the drain. That will never happen to us." And this is what the children of Israel were saying to Jeremiah. How in the world can you say that Jerusalem and this temple, this beautiful temple that Solomon constructed, how in the world can you say it's going to be like Shiloh? Now let's turn back to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. This is not the first time Jeremiah referenced Shiloh. And Shiloh was a place where the tabernacle was lodged for a long time. It was in Shiloh when Samuel became a prophet of God and during his ministry. But Jeremiah 7, verse 12, it says, "But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel." So we see here that we can understand that Shiloh now is laid desolate. It's no longer a place of worship as when the tabernacle was there. And it's no longer even a thriving place of anything, it seems. It's a picture of desolation, of maybe glories that once were but are no longer there. And quite often in our life, we'll reject it, the warning of the man of God, because we think we can never sink that low. We will never do that. We start attacking the message. When the pastor gets up and says, "You must, you know, if you don't keep Christ as your first love, you're going to grow cold." And you know what? That takes an effort. And we think, well, we'll never get to the point of where the Laodiceans were. We'll never go that far. We just got to kind of keep it. You know, maybe it's not our first love, but maybe it's our second love. But you know what? The Word of God is clear. If you don't keep God first in your life, there is judgment coming. He told the church of Ephesus that He would remove them. He would remove their candlestick if they did not get their love back onto Him. So if their love was not focused on Him, what was it focused on? If your love is not focused on Jesus Christ, it is focused on something else. And if it's focused on something else, that's idolatry. Because you're putting something before God. But when the preacher preaches something like this, how do we respond? Do we start attacking the message? Say that, no, we'll never get that low. You know, that may be true of other people, but it's not going to happen to us. We just start attacking the message. It's indicative of a wrong response. It attacks the messenger, and it attacks the message. Let's look at the right response. Jeremiah 26, verse number 16. Says, "Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." princes here came and they said, you know what, Jeremiah is not worthy to die because he's spoken to us in the name of the Lord. They had respect to the messenger. They said, this man is a man of God. He's a prophet of God. By this time, Jeremiah's ministry would have been, I think, 10 plus years. He would have been a prophet already. He had some background. They knew he was a prophet of God. And the princes said, man, we can't put this man to death. He is a man of God. They had respect to the messenger. And do we have that same respect? When we receive rebuke in our life, when the pastor gets up and preaches something and the Lord pricks your heart and says he's talking to you, do you have respect to the man of God? You respect the messenger. It is to our benefit that we do. Let's turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. It is for our benefit that we have the right response to the man of God. Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's unprofitable for you. Does a pastor want to stand before God and say, man, that one family I had, they fell into sin? You know, they wouldn't respect the authority of God's word. They wouldn't respect the words that I preached or the words that I counseled them. Does he want to get up and stand before God and say, they fell into sin? No, he doesn't. That would be an account that he's giving with grief. But the Bible doesn't say it's unprofitable for the man of God to do that. If he's done all that he can, God does not judge him for losing, for someone else's actions of falling into sin. If the man of God has preached what he needs to preach, and if he has given the counsel and the warning that God required of him, if he has diminished not a word, it's unprofitable then for us to not respect the man of God. It will not be unprofitable for the preacher at the judgment seat of Christ. It will be unprofitable for the people who will not heed the preacher and his words. The right response respects the messenger, and it also respects the message. Let's turn back to Jeremiah 26. Respects the messenger, and it will respect the message. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. This is Jeremiah's response to the prophets and the priests. It says, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent of him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. This is the message. And Jeremiah made sure to tell the princes here, as he's standing in judgment, in trial before them, he said, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this city, against this house and against this city. And the princes, when they heard that it was coming from the Lord, they said, you know what? This is a message from God. It's a message from the man of God. It's a message from God. And we better respect it. And you look there, let's look at verse 18. It says, Micah the Moresite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house is the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah king of Judah and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against him? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. They took what Jeremiah was preaching and they compared it to something that they already knew was the word of God. The words of Micah, the prophet there. And they said, you know what? He's preaching the exact same thing that Micah preached many years ago. It's the word of God. We need to have respect to the message. We need to pay attention to what is being preached here and take heed and change our ways. And as Jeremiah said, amend your ways and your doings. A right response will respect the message. It'll take it in and say, you know what? This is for my benefit. Does it line up with the Word of God? Yes. Then I better take heed and obey it. No matter what it says. If the Lord is dealing with your heart and saying, maybe you need to get rid of this. This is holding you back. You need to have respect to the message and obey it. Don't reject the preaching of the Word of God. Let's look then at the result of the response. Point number one was the responsibility of the preacher. Then we see the two responses to the preaching. And now let's look at the result of the response. We already read verse 18 and 19. Let's pick it up, verse number 20, there, Jeremiah 26. It says, "And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land, according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt, and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword, and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death." We see here the results of the two responses. The results of the two responses. We see two examples given. That of King Hezekiah, and that of King Jehoiakim, who of course would have been king at the time of this chapter. So we'll take a quick look into each king. Just again, just a kind of a snapshot of who they were, their character, and their reign. So let's look first at Hezekiah, there, who was mentioned in verse 18 and 19. We see here in verse number 19 that Hezekiah had a humility about him. When the preaching came from Micah, they said, Zion's going to be plowed up like a field, and Jerusalem's going to be heaps. There's going to not really be any buildings, just a bunch of bricks stacked up together, not even a real house or anything. It's just going to be a bunch of heaps. What did Hezekiah do? Did he take offense at the message? Did he condemn the messenger for bringing an unpleasant sermon to him? No. He feared the Lord, the Bible says in verse 19. And he besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them. And we see this all throughout. If you study the life of Hezekiah, one of the greatest kings that the kingdom of Judah ever had, Hezekiah. And if you study his life, it's very indicative of his character. Anytime the word of God came unto him, he responded in a right manner. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 18. Again, just a quick little look into his reign. 2 Kings 18. Verse number 5. 2 Kings 18, verse 5. Talking about Hezekiah. "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses." The Bible says that he was the greatest king that the kingdom of Judah ever had. Now this, of course, would have been after the United Kingdom split into the northern and southern kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and Judah. But the Bible says that there was none like him among all the kings before, or after him, nor that were before him. The greatest king that Judah ever had, the Bible said. And we see that he responded properly to the message of the man of God. He had a right response. He humbled himself. He had respect to the messenger. He respected the message. And you know, when it says that in verse number 6 that he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, Sometimes I think we get in our head that means he never really strayed away at all from God. He kept following God completely through his entire life. But we see from our account in Jeremiah that there was a time when the nation of Israel was getting away from God, and God had to send Micah and say, you need to return to following the Lord. And he did. And so there'll be times in our life where we will have times where we get away from God. Or maybe we don't have the right response to the man of God. But we need to, when we have that chastisement, when we have that rebuke, we need to then take a step back and say, whoa, is this in line with God, with the Word of God? And if it is, I need to have the right response to it. So let's look then at Jehoiakim. Throughout his reign, he had a history of rejecting God, of rejecting the man of God. There was an instance where Jeremiah had sent him a scroll of rebuke or just the words of the Lord, and he took a penknife that was next to him, cut up the scroll, and then tossed the pieces into the fire. That was the kind of man that Jehoiakim was. Never hearkened to the word of the Lord. Never listened to the prophets saying, follow the Lord, repent, and turn back to God. It's no coincidence then that he was one of the last kings of Judah. That he was right at the tail end when God was bringing judgment on the kingdom. That's no coincidence. Because he rejected the word of the Lord. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. In Chronicles 36, verse number 5. There's not much said about Jehoiakim here in the Chronicles or in the Kings, but what is said is not good. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiakim his son reigned in his stead. The rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, I think the found in him would have been the things that only God would have known. The abominations that he did, everybody knew. But the abominations that were found in him, the heart sins, the sins that only God can see, we have to be careful of those because those will eventually come out in our actions. But the abominations that he did, just stuff that he did that God absolutely detested, couldn't stand the stuff that Jehoiakim was doing. It was so evil and so wicked. So let's turn back to Jeremiah 26. Two examples of some kings and how they reacted to the man of God, to the message of God. And we see Hezekiah reacted with the right response. And we see that he had a reign over Judah that was like none other in the history of Judah. See that God blessed him for his actions and for his responses to the word of God that he was given. And then we see Jehoiakim. And the result of his response was a short reign, ending in him getting taken captive by Babylon and the destruction of Jerusalem. So which response is yours? Which response is yours? Remember, we're viewing this like a trial. Every time the man of God gets up and preaches, we put him... He's up on the stand in our minds and in our hearts, saying, is this a good message? Do I want to take heed to this message? Am I going to accept it, or am I going to reject the word of God that is being preached? Do we discredit the preacher? Saying, oh, he doesn't understand my situation. He's just an old fuddy-duddy. He doesn't understand the culture that we're living in today. Do we scorn the message that he's given? Oh, that's old-fashioned. That book was written 2,000 years ago. It doesn't apply today. We scorn the message. What verdict do you pronounce after hearing a message, after hearing a sermon? What verdict do you give? Jeremiah was under, he could have been sentenced to death. Of course, we see that the princes had the right response and said he's not worthy to die. But what verdict do you give a sermon that you hear? From this point on, let's strive to have the right response to the message that we hear from the man of God. So have respect to the messenger. Say, this is a man of God. We must treat him with the respect that God has commanded in his word. And then have respect to the message. Say, you know what, maybe if this is from the man of God, from God, we should treat it that way. As it lines up with Scripture. And then just take heed and obey the message that is being given. You know, King Manasseh, Hezekiah, the greatest king in the kingdom of Judah. Manasseh was his son, the most wicked king that Judah ever had. Reigned for a long time, 50 plus years. And the Bible says that the reason Judah was under such judgment was because of Manasseh and all the abominations that he did and the innocent blood that he shed. But you know what? Manasseh he was taken over as well. He was taken into captivity. And the Bible says that in captivity, he began to seek the Lord. And because he sought the Lord, he humbled his heart. And God restored him back to his kingdom. He became king again over Judah. And he started trying to turn the nation back to God when he got back. Best as he could, he was turning the nation back to God. He was forgiven when he turned his heart back to the Lord God. Maybe you're here today and you've had a history of wrong response to the man of God. Manasseh, we can take great encouragement from. That we can change our attitude, we can change our action, and God will forgive us and he will start to bless us as we start to seek him in our life. So what is the verdict for the man of God? Jeremiah was found innocent. He was found that he was not worthy to die because they respected him. They respected the message because it was the word of God. What is your verdict when the man of God preaches? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your word and the great truths that we can draw from it. And Lord, I pray that we be like Jeremiah, not afraid to speak your word, and just to not diminish a word that you've given to us. Lord, that we just, Lord, always have the right response to your word, whether it comes from reading your word or from the preaching of the man of God. I pray that we always have the right response. In your name we pray. Amen.